like to thank Chris and all of the people involved in the music worship team today for preparing us so well for worship and leading us in worship. Know that God is with us today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for having created us, Father. We thank you for placing us here in your earth. And we pray, Father, that you would guide our hearts and our minds as we look at the scripture today and consider what it is that you have to say to each one of us, no matter what age we are or what position we are in life, that you have a message for us that is strong and is necessary, and it is filled with your love. We thank you, Father, for these things. May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Image, how's your image today? I chose this theme to talk about today because there are a number of people that I know in my life who are hurting, and they feel that life has become very hard to figure out. They think that based on their own life and the way it has gone, the sinfulness in their being, the things that they've gone through and the things that they're facing, they're looking for answers. And I feel that this is the answer that they're looking for, that we were created in God's image. And I believe that this message is the one that we need to talk about more in our society. There is a great need for God, and God is being shunned more and more, and he's being forgotten, but he will not be forgotten, because he is greater than all the people that are trying to forget about him. But the image is very important for us to think about today. There are many images around us today. If you go on and you search for something in Google, you'll see that they have chosen images as one of the choices that you can search with. Right? There are images everywhere that we are looking today. And you can see those vividly used all around us. One of the most striking images that I came across recently was when I went into the Princeton Art Museum. You can also go there. It's free. And I would really highly recommend it because you can see all kinds of images there. You can see all kinds of creations there of people that have produced great art. And they're hanging there, and it's free. You can walk right in. And one of them, when our family went there recently, was a painting. Well, it was actually not a painting. It was a silk screen by Andy Warhol. You want to show that one, Don? And this is the one that you can see in Princeton Art Museum if you go there. It's a very, very famous piece of work, and it is a work of art centered around an icon, which is also another word for an image, and that is Marilyn Monroe. Maybe some of the younger people here don't know her. If you don't know who Marilyn Monroe is, she was a sex symbol. She was a Hollywood star. She was someone who was very sexy looking. She was priding herself on that. She came from a small town. Elton John wrote a song about her called Norma Jean. It was like, where are you? Where have you gone, Norma Jean? And there's this whole concept about this person who is behind the image. But Marilyn Monroe was the theme of Andy Warhol's Blue Marilyn. And he had many different silk screens made of her because he really liked her and he was enamored with her. But he also related to her in many different ways. This is actually from a photo. And the silk screen, if you go there, I can't remember the exact words, but it goes something like this. The writing underneath this silk screen there says that it was deliberately used to flatten the image, literally and symbolically. So Andy Warhol was not just somebody who wanted to make a cool painting or a silk screen of somebody to look cool. I think that was part of it. But his main intention was to capture something about and say something about this person. And what he was trying to say was that she has been made flat. She has been made flat literally through the silk screen, which flattens the image and makes it look less three-dimensional. And it's just flat. But it's also symbolically flat. And that is what happened to Marilyn Monroe. You see, a real person living in the world became an icon or something that was unreal. And in his own words, he would say that that person was plastic. Plastic was a big thing for Andy Warhol. He was a person who liked being plastic. He said, I like L.A., I like Hollywood, because everybody's plastic there, and I'm plastic, and I like being plastic. And so he was detaching himself from this world even more and more and more. And the images that he made influenced in us in such a way as to see what happens to people in the hands of other people. So a perfectly normal girl goes to Hollywood, desires fame, and seeks it there, and she becomes famous, and in real essence, she lost her life. She lost her true image, and she became an image that was more like plastic. And I think that that speaks very, very strongly about what is happening today. You can take a look at all the other images that are in our world today. We have many young people here, and you can take a look at yourself and say, who are the images that you are looking at each day? Who are the images in your life? What is your image of life? Is it plastic? Is it something that is reduced to a computer now? A computer has its own kind of way of showing images and portraying people. If you send an email to someone, you can also have a false image of people through an email. Do you ever have that experience where you write something that's very, very innocent, and then it comes back and the person is yelling at you, like, why did you write me like that? And you're thinking, wait, you know, I didn't mean it like that. So all of these things are being formed in our world it's changing things. And we're all sort of going along with it, and we're trying to adjust as quickly as we can so that we can live in this world. But many times it's very, very hard because we are misunderstood, or things that we're being faced with, these different types of images are challenging us. So I'd like to ask you a few questions. How would you describe your image? How are you perceived? How are you seen by people in this world? How are you seen by your parents? How are you seen by your friends? How are you seen by outsiders? How are you seen by your teachers, all the people in your life? How is it that they see you when they look at you? What are the things in your life which take up most of your time and your thinking? Think about that now for a moment. What are the things that you could say if you were to write down a couple of things? What are the things that you spend most time thinking about and doing? What are the things that you spend time looking at? We're living in a visual world. It's nothing new. But now this word image is coming back and it's being used. I don't think it's by accident. People are interested in images. What are the images before your eyes? What are those things that you look at and you think of more than anything else? These words of God are drawing our attention to this today. God intended good for us. He made us, created us, and he pronounced us as being good when he created us. And being made in his image draws us into thinking about him. And that is really the whole crux of this message today from God in his word, that he created us. It was God who created us. Never mind in his image, but the word God is important. It escapes us today and it leaves us too quickly. We are being called by God in these verses to God's way of living. We are being called through God's words in knowing that we are made in his image to God's lifestyle. And we are called through these words about being made in God's image to God's plans for our lives. What are God's plans for your life? What is he doing in your life? What are his plans? What are God's ways? These are questions that we must be asking ourselves each day. And I believe that we should be reading these words in Genesis each day to remind us, because we need to stay there. We need to stay in this if we are going to have any hope at all in the world that we live in. The Bible teaches us later on that man sought his own ways immediately after he was given his life. He sought his own ways and he disobeyed God, falling for the temptation from Satan in the garden, and he was separated from God through his sinful ways. This separation from God has been a problem for us ever since. But keeping with his image, God proved his greatness, and being God, he proved himself as God in providing mankind for an answer to the problem of sin. And the answer is found in one person. And I'd like to read you now a section of scripture from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." The person that God has chosen as our salvation is Jesus Christ. I'd like to read you a couple more words of scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." What is the image of God? It is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15-23. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." Jesus Christ is the image of God, and it is his image that we need today in our world. It is his image that we need to have before us in every part of our lives if we are to have any hope. I'd like to read you a verse again in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." Are you drifting today? Are you drifting away? Is every facet of your life centered around Christ? Or are you drifting? Then the writer here in Hebrews is saying, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And those are wise words for all of us today. We need to pay closer attention to this, or we will drift away from it. The victory that we have in Jesus Christ for the sins that we have in our lives is for today. It is a victory that we experience now, and it is one that God rewards us, for which we are rewarded by God. But we must also know that the victory is not complete. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you hear the words that are being used over and over again, that we shall see him? Our eyes are meant and created to see Christ. And the other things that we have in our lives that we fill our minds with are destroying our relationship with the most important one in creation. It is the Creator. It is the image of God, Jesus Christ, that we need to keep our eyes on. The Scripture is filled with this image that God wants us to have. There was a scholar named D.A. Kleins, and he said this, and I think it really summarizes this well. In Christ, man sees what manhood was meant to be. In Christ, man sees what manhood was meant to be. The image is fully realized only through obedience to Christ. Are you feeling incomplete? Are you feeling unsure in your life of some things? Are you feeling that there are things that you are confused by? Are you feeling that there are things that you're seeing in your friends that are drawing you away from God? Then God is telling you today that he is there for you and that he wants you to be completely filled with him. There is a great sense in these words in Genesis of the image of God and being created in the image of God that draws us into the image of family. And I believe that that is what God is also trying to tell us today. This great being that created the universe takes it to task to write down in his word that we are brothers and sisters in his family. And that destroys any other God that even comes close to claiming that he is God. Because our God is a God of love and of compassion and of mercy and desiring good for his creation. John Bonaventure was a 13th century Franciscan theologian, a church leader, and a mystic. And he has this to say about the cross. God is mocked so that you may be honored, flogged so that you may be consoled, crucified so that you may be set free. The spotless lamb is slaughtered so you may be fed. The lance, the sword, brings forth water and blood from his side so that you may drink. O Lord Jesus Christ, who for my sake did not spare yourself, wound my heart through your wounds, inebriate my spirit with your blood, so that wherever I may go, I may continually have you before my eyes as the crucified, and may be able to find nothing else but you. May Christ's image, brothers and sisters, may Christ's image, the image of God, live before our eyes today and forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you today here with our words. May our hearts also join with our words. May you be honored as the creator of the universe, and may Christ be honored as the one who has saved us from our sins and who is coming again to bring us to you, Father, for all time. We pray, Father, that with all of the images around us today, that your image would be supreme, that we would not seek things that turn people from real human beings of flesh and blood into plastic icons that are sources of great wealth and good art. May we look into the world, Father, and see all the icons that we worship around us today, and to see all of the musical icons, the artistic icons, the political icons, all of the things that wish and desire for more fame than you, Father. And may we be done with them. Maybe we be finished with them. Maybe we see them for what they are, Father, that they are distractions, they are temptations taking us away so that we drift from you. May it not be so, Father. Change our hearts. Wound us, Father, with the cross and the pain that Christ suffered for our sakes, so that we are not numb to these things, but that we change and we follow you forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.